Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Many, many, many years ago, the Israelite people were enslaved in Egypt. And God worked through Moses, and he did miracles, and he set the people free from Egypt, and then he sent them, and he said, I'm going to bring you back to the land that I gave your ancestor Abraham. I'm going to send you back there. I'm going to give you that land back, that land that I have promised you. I'm going to bring you there. And he took them on this journey through the desert and through the wilderness, and he brought them from Egypt to the land that had been promised to them. And when they got on the edge of the land, they sent in 12 spies into the land to get a lay of the land. And those 12 spies, they checked things out. They came back home. They saw Moses. Two of them said, this land is so good. Let's go for it. And 10 of them said, I don't think we can take it. We saw the people there, and they are freakishly tall. Like, these guys are mythologically tall. These guys are huge. These people are giants. This is a nation of giants that we are looking, that are occupying our promised land. We are a bunch of slaves that just got free, and this land is full of giants. There is no way we are surviving that. We should have stayed in Egypt. And so there's a bit of a rebellion. God gets pretty upset with them. And then they change their minds and say, okay. We'll go and we'll take it. And God says, no, you've missed your shot. I told you to go take it. You disobeyed me. And now you think you can just go take it whenever you want, however you want, on your own power. And they go in and they try to take it and they get slaughtered. Now, after 40 years wandering in the wilderness that takes place after that, God does give them the promised land, and they are follow in obedience, and they take the land. And then many years after that, there's this young man named David who ends up being the king of that country, the king of Israel. He goes, and he's not king yet, and he goes to visit his brothers on the battlefield of war. And the Israelite army is there, and they are facing the Philistines. And what's happened is they're both, they've got their separate camps and they can see each other from their camps. And every day, the enemy army sends out this man named Goliath, who is this mythologically tall, massive man, a giant. And he comes out and he taunts the Israelites day after day after day. And he puts out this challenge. I will fight whoever you want me to fight, and whoever wins, wins the war. And Israel just kind of cowers and refuses to send anybody. And everyone is terrified of this guy. And David walks into the camp, there to see his family, there to see his brothers. And he's like, what are you guys doing? How come no one's fought this guy? And they're like, have you seen how tall he is? And David's like, no way, man. We can do this. And after some back and forth, the king tries to put his armor on David, and David's just too small. It doesn't fit him right. And David says, no, I don't need that. And he goes out and he has his sling and a stone and he goes out and he fights Goliath and he beats him. And everyone is freaking out and the enemy army is just overwhelmed. They're like, what just happened here? And they all run, and the Israelites win the battle. They win the war. Sometimes in our lives, we face giants, and sometimes we see the giants, and we're like, no way, man. That is out of my league. I can't handle that, and we run. And other times, we're like, oh, man, I'm going to tackle this, and we go, and we fight the giant, and we lose bad. And sometimes we're there, and we face the giant, and we win. And you all know these different giants. I imagine that you have some sort of giant already picked out in your brain that, I mean, that's the thing with giants. It's hard to miss them. And that might be your money. You might be looking at your finances and thinking, how do I handle this? It may be job-related, it may be savings, it may be your car is breaking down, your house is falling apart, something goes sideways on you, and everything is just breaking and it's costing more and more and more money. It may be your career and you're like, man, I don't know if I can handle this career. I'm getting stressed out. Maybe it's an addiction that you're dealing with and you just keep falling into the same patterns of behavior over and over again. Maybe it's anxiety or worry or fear, and that keeps crowding in, and it's like the darkness keeps coming in and fog, and there's a fog and you can't even see clearly. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe your kids are going haywire and you're like, what is going on? Or you're just overwhelmed with grief. Whatever it is. You get my picture though, right? You guys have a sense of what kind of giant is in your life. And sometimes we approach those things and these situations happen. But as we dig into these two stories, there are a couple pretty significant factors in here that we need to understand if we're going to face giants in our lives. Okay? It's not just a general giant thing. There's some pretty specific, pretty important pieces here that we need to grab hold of. Number one is in Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. That's where the story of the Israelites being told to go into the promised land and rebelling is found. And in Numbers 14, verses 7 to 9, it says, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Do not rebel against the Lord. First Samuel chapter 17, verses 36 and 37. David says this to Saul. He says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. We make some pretty significant mistakes when we face giants in our lives. Mistakes that the people of Israel made back when they were going for the promised land, and when the army was sitting there looking at Goliath, they made some pretty significant errors that kept them defeated or kept them bound and ended up leading to their loss or to their just being trapped on the other side and not being able to take what God had promised them. One thing is that they made the mistake of thinking that it was up to them and their decision, their will, that it was their idea. This promised land, we can take it or leave it. That's up to us. This army, this battle thing, if we really want to fight the war, we can. But if we don't, that's whatever. It's my idea. This is my idea. This is something I want. I want the new job. I want the money. I want the family. I want the freedom. I want it. And that's why it's a giant. That's why it's an obstacle, because it goes against what I want. And they miss the fact that the giant isn't there because of what they want, but because what God has called them to. The giant isn't actually opposed to them. The giant is opposed to the will of God. The second thing they do in error is that they think that they are taking the risk. It's their life that's on the line. It's their dream that's on the line. It's their desire that's on the line. And they can go, well, maybe it's not worth that risk to me. Maybe the payoff isn't worth it to me. It's not worth the chance. And I don't want to pay that price in order to get that thing. It's my risk. But it's really the kingdom of God that we're putting at risk. The third thing is they think that it's up to them to do it. That they're the ones that are actually going to fight the battle. It's actually them who has to be stronger, more cunning, braver, more skilled, and more durable than the giant. They think they've got to be the one that is stronger than the giant. They see the giant and they think, I have got to be better than him in order to win this fight. But the reality is that these giants in these stories are not giants that they have chosen. It is not about their life, and it is not up to them. Sometimes we make things into giants, and it's just our idea. Sure, you wanna work on some skill, you wanna install a particularly difficult kitchen reno, you want to get really good and play this certain song on piano, you want to save to a certain amount, and you set those goals. Folks, that is not what these passages are about. They are not about the personal get better goals that we sometimes get. And there is no promise in this book that says that if you really want something and that is a giant to you, that God is going to give you the power to defeat that giant. That is not what this is about. This is about when God calls you to something and there's a giant opposed to what God is calling you to. And in that situation, in that circumstance, you need to understand that when a giant opposes God, it's God's fight, not yours. When a giant opposes God, it's God's fight, not yours. I don't know. This illustration isn't going to work for some of you because some of you are getting to the age where your dad is not like the beast that he was in a fight. But you guys probably remember the time when you were littler, or you know the idea that when you were littler and there were kids on the playground and you guys started to fight and be like, my dad can beat up your dad. You remember that? You guys know that? Okay? So put your mind in that kind of space. And imagine you're going to go fight a giant, The reality is, you're there, you're facing the giant, and the giant thinks he's got you beat, and you're like, oh no, you're not fighting me, you're going to fight my dad. You're on the playground, and the little annoying chubby kid with bad teeth who's bigger than you is looking at you and be like, oh, I'm going to beat you up, man. I don't know why I've got that image in my head, but maybe there's some trauma in my life. I don't know. I don't think I was bullied by a chubby kid with bad teeth, but maybe. But you get that image, and then you're standing there against this kid, and it's like, oh, no way. I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to go get my dad. And you can fight him. Situation changes, doesn't it? When a giant opposes God, it's God's fight. It's God's fight, not yours. You don't need to win that battle. You don't need to be stronger than the giant. You don't need to be more cunning. You don't need to be more durable. You don't need to outwit or outlast. That's God's fight. I'll tell you right now, he's got him beat. But we got to do some work in that situation. And the first one is understanding the difference between giants that are opposed to us and giants that are opposed to what God is doing and where he wants to take us. There are those things where it's like, man, I really want to run a 6-minute kilometer. For some of you, that may not be a big deal, but for someone like me, that would be like, oh, that's a giant. If it's just something in your own mind, some goal you've presented, don't make it into a giant that it's not. That's not what we're talking about. But there are many things in our lives that God is calling us to. Things that are in the way of us accomplishing what God wants us to. Things that are opposed to what God is doing in our lives. That may be work-related. It may have to do with your anxiety. It may have to do with your fear. It may have to do with your family. Because we know, and we have already looked at many, many times over the past year or 2 years, how God is calling you to do things, how God is calling you to be free of your addiction, how he wants to save your marriage, and he wants to save your family, and he wants to change you, and he wants to bring you up out of the pit and so that you're not overwhelmed by fear and you're not overwhelmed by worry, and he wants to make sure that you're providing for your family. And he wants to make sure that you have purpose and meaning in your life. And he wants you to figure things out and move forward and be able to share your faith with other people. All of those things we know God wants for us, and he is working in us. And that is a promised land that is out there that he is calling us to. And we want to go take that. We want to go to that. But there are all kinds of things opposed to us. And whether that's temptation, or maybe it's even our spouse, or maybe it's our kids, or maybe it's our neighbors or our coworkers, or maybe it's just the direct attack of Satan and his minions to tempt and to belittle you. And all of those things feel like giants, but the reality is those giants are not opposed to you. They are opposed to the will of God. And when a giant opposes God, it's God's fight, not yours. And so the first thing you need to do is you need to examine your life and figure out, is this really what God wants for me? Is this really what God is calling me to? We make a mistake when we totally separate everything. My world, God's world, whatever. We And we got to do the work of figuring out what is it that God wants me to do in my life. And once you figure out what God wants you to do in your life and you are pursuing it, you can rest assured that whatever giant comes up opposed to that, that God's going to fight it. David said, "The same God that rescued me from the lion and from the bear is going to rescue me from this Philistine." And so the second thing we need to do is we need to decide that we're going to face it when he calls us to face it. Don't avoid it. Don't set it aside. Don't wait. Don't run away. You've got to face it when he calls you to face it. And it's not going to be any less scary. The giant isn't going to be any less big, any less strong. But if you realize that they are opposing God, you realize how much bigger he is, stronger he is, more enduring he is. And so once you've discerned what God is calling you to, you need to then take it, face the giant when he tells you to face it. And then the last thing you got to do is do it his way. Do it his way in his power. You don't need to carry that. You don't need to have that responsibility. You don't need to somehow push yourself to the limit. No, you need to be obedient. See, David took five, if you read the story, he took five stones out of the river and he had five stones with him. I don't think David knew how the fight was going to go. He just knew that he had to go and he had to fight it. I imagine that David's there, he throws a stone, hits Goliath in the head, Goliath falls down, the stone sinks into the guy's skull, and David's probably like, "Oh, that was easier than I thought. I've got four more stones. Who else can I throw this at?" David was obedient. He was ready, he was there, he was going to do it, but he didn't know exactly how God was going to defeat the giant. He just trusted that God was going to defeat the giant and take whatever he had and do the miraculous. I don't know if the thing that you're facing right now is persecution because of how you are living your life and the faith that you carry and that your family, your friends or coworkers or whatever are attacking you for your faith. I don't know if it's you feel like your family is falling apart and you don't see any way to save it. I don't know if it's your health or your finances and you start crunching numbers and you're like, the numbers, there's no way that the numbers are going to pay for what we need to pay for. Some of you, you think about the internal battle and struggle with anxiety and fear and worry and all sorts of other mental health struggles, and your brain can't even wrap around how big that giant is. But we know that God wants to do something powerful in your life. And if that is where God wants to take you, then those things aren't opposed to you, they are opposed to God. And when a giant opposes God, it's God's fight, not yours. And you're not going to win that fight by ignoring God or doing it some other way than God's way. You're not going to defeat that giant through sin. You're not going to defeat that giant by your own power. You're going to defeat that giant by opposing the giant when God tells you to. How he tells you to. And letting him fight the battle. The worship team's going to come up here. And we're going to spend some more time in worship through song. And as they sing this first song here, third song, whatever, as they sing this song here, what I want you to consider is I want you to consider what giant you are facing in your life. And I want you to consider whether it's something that is actually your idea and you need to give that up, you need to surrender it, or whether it's something that God is calling you to and you need to let him fight that battle. And what I want you to do during this next song is when you get clarity on that, I want you to stand up out of your seat. I want you to come forward to the altars. Again, we've said this before, there's nothing magical about these altars. But there is something significant about when we engage our bodies in the process that our hearts and our souls are going through. And so I want you to physically stand up and come forward. And as the song is being sung, I want you to just quietly say out loud what the giant you're facing is. Put your hands out and let God take the fight from you. Now, I know some of you don't want to do this and some of you aren't going to do this. That's all right. But there are some of you in this room today that need to do that. Because you're dancing around it. You're avoiding it. You don't want it. You don't want to commit to it. And you know and you can feel the Holy Spirit even right now telling you, you need to go up. And you're going through every reason why you shouldn't and why it doesn't matter and it doesn't make sense and oh, it's not going to make any difference. Get over it. God is calling you to a step of obedience. If you want to beat that giant, you take that giant when he tells you to take it. Satan does not want you to have the promised land. It's not your fight. You come and you surrender that and let God fight that battle.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.